Luke chapter 10. The chapter is John 10. What did I say? Luke. Don't know where that came from. John chapter 10. The good shepherd and his sheep. Reading from verse 7. Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." This is the word of the Lord. I invite my friend Michael up, and I'd just like to pray with you, Michael, and for us. Father God, I thank you for Michael and the servant of God that he is, and that you've brought him to share your word with us today. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint him with your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, that he would share what's on the Father's heart for us today, and Lord, that that word and your Holy Spirit would grow us into the people you want us to be. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rolly. And I liked your sermon already. I like your sermon, and I now I'll get to do another one. So great to be here, everyone. I had a great conference yesterday, and good night on Friday night too. So I live in Aberfoyle Park, and I like travelling on a Sunday morning too. The traffic's very light. Bit about my life at Aberfoyle Park. So we live not far from really nice walking tracks, and so a few mornings each week I go for a walk and regularly come across other people walking, and many of them walking their dogs. And there are a couple of dogs in particular who know me well. One of them is named Axel. He's a Labradoodle. You know what a Labradoodle is? And he's big and black, and when he sees me, I can be 50 metres away, and as soon as he sees me, he makes a beeline for me, and he brings his owner, Caroline, behind. And he knows me, and I could be middle of winter, have a beanie on and a coat, doesn't matter. Gets a glimpse of me and off. He says, "I know who that is." So he comes, no matter what, he comes right up to me, and I say, "Sit, Axel." He sits. Then I pull out my box of little pot of schmackos and give him one. He knows me. He may not know my name, but he knows he's the man with the schmackos. I like him and he likes me. We have a good relationship, Axel and I. Relationship, a relationship of love, a relationship of trust. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, "I am the good shepherd." And we're going to be looking at that today. So let me pray as well. So word, Heavenly Father, Jesus, the good shepherd, we know that you love us, and that you have You know what we need, and you can give that to us today. So through your word, we ask you speak to our hearts and minds what we need today. Amen. You know, in the book of John, there are seven statements that Jesus made about himself. And I could probably argue that if you don't remember anything else Jesus says, remember those seven statements. Because in those seven statements contain the seven most important truths he wants us to know about him, including the one that we'll be looking at today, where he said, "I am the good shepherd." So when he said that, just like when he says all the other I am statements, it's always in the context of a story, something that was going on. And when he said, "I am the good shepherd," it was a very hostile and tense situation that was going on. The ones he said it to were Pharisees, experts in the law of God, people who were convinced that they were God's faithful followers. And so it was a pretty tense situation. Jesus already said a few things that made them really wild. They were ready to explode. The Jews said, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" They were not happy with what was coming out of his mouth. So it was a highly tense situation. And Jesus said, "No, I'm not demon-possessed. In fact, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And just in case they didn't get it the first time, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." So what was Jesus trying to teach them about himself? Why the image of a good shepherd? What is he trying to tell them? Good questions, don't you think? I hope I've got some good answers. Well, we're going to look at that. And I'm going to start trying to answer that by some questions of my own. So I'm going to ask you, do you love the Word of God or do you love God? Do you trust the Word of God or do you trust God? Or you might say, is there a difference? Is there a difference? What do you think? Well, if it's exactly the same, if they were the same, then the Pharisees would have been best mates with Jesus because they loved the Word of God. They loved it so much, they wrote it on they put it on their foreheads, put it on their hearts. They loved the Word of God. They knew the Word of God and they trusted the Word of God. You know, the Pharisees are the ones that if you had a trivia night and the Bible quiz questions come up, you want them on your table. They knew the Word of God backwards and they knew all about what God was going to do. They knew it all. They had great knowledge. So if you ask, not only what they knew the Word of God, they knew how to interpret it. So they knew the Word of God, which said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and they knew what that meant as well. They could tell you. If you say, what does that mean? We'll tell you what it means. So they had great knowledge. And through their great knowledge and what they thought was their great wisdom, they knew that Jesus could not have been the Messiah. Because when some of the crowd said, well, maybe Jesus is the Messiah, what did they say? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him? No. But this mob knows nothing of the law. There's a curse on them. They don't know the truth. We know the truth. We know the word. And then Nicodemus actually suggested, one of their own, suggested that maybe Jesus was, we might consider what he was saying. And they responded to him. They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it and you'll find out a prophet does not come out of Galilee." They knew the word. So what was Jesus trying to tell them with that image, "I am the good shepherd"? Well, I believe he was telling them that knowledge of the word is good. That is, I want to know the word. I want you to know the word. Jesus wants us to know the word, right on our hearts. But Jesus says, but there's more than that. That relationship with the word is why I have come. And John put it this way. He said, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's the NIV. I like the CEV. The word became a human being and lived here with us. And the message, I love that version too. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood. So we could have a relationship with the word. And the living word said, "I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Trust me. Trust me like a sheep trusts the shepherd and gives up, who will give up his life for them. Know me." It's important to know the word, but know me, the living word, the shepherd. Listen to me. Listen to the word, but listen to me, the living word, who knows what you need to hear. And follow me, just like a sheep follows its shepherd. You can't have a relationship with a book. You can't have a relationship with the written word, but you can have a relationship with the living word. That's what Jesus was saying. And he gave them the picture. Isn't Jesus, if we want to say, what do you mean? He says, I'll give you a picture that you can relate to. A picture of a good shepherd with his sheep. So what does that look like day to day, as that knowing and listening, trusting to the shepherd, recognising his voice and listening to him? Well, yesterday had a great conference where we were exploring that more and saying, what does that look like? How does the shepherd speak to us? And probably most of the time was, how do we recognise his voice? I shared some of my journey, how I've been learning to listen to the shepherd. And I'd say now, not trying to put myself, I say, I listen to him, I hear him a lot more than I used to. I don't know if it's because he speaks more, but I think I'm better at listening, better at recognising his voice. And a highlight for me from yesterday was when we had a few exercises, and one of them was I got people into groups of four and demonstrated out the front here. And I said, well, I'm going to invite three others to come up, and we're going to ask the shepherd for each one in the group. We're going to go around. We're going to say, ask the shepherd to give a Bible verse to the three people in the group, which they could then to listen on behalf of the other, so they could speak a Bible verse, the word of God, to someone else. And I was in that group, and I'd say that it was a highlight for me for two reasons. One is, when I asked, or the group asked, shepherd, what is the word that you want us to speak over Michael's life today? And the first person said, well, I have Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, plan to give you a future and a hope. You know what? I already knew that word. But when she spoke that word, it really made an impact on my heart. And I thought, that is just the word I needed to hear today. How did she know that? She didn't. The shepherd did. And when she said, what is a word for Michael? He gave her the word. And I'd say it was a timely word. Just what my heart needed to hear. And there were two others. And this morning I actually looked up the one that you gave. That, and Rolly was one, and he gave me a word. And this came from Exodus 14. And I'm sure I have read that many times, but I had no recollection of that, which is really embarrassing for a pastor. And I looked it up again this morning, and the word, this is my paraphrase, is stand firm, he actually says to Moses and the people just before he was about to part the Red Sea. He said, stand firm, I'm about to do a great thing. I'm going to work with power. So be still. Be still. And I tell you, it didn't make a big impact yesterday, but my heart this morning, Rolly, when I was meditating on it, was saying, yeah, that's what my heart needed to hear. And of course, God just seemed to, the shepherd must think I'm a bit thick, because he had to give another word to someone else. And I reflected on that again in the morning. You know what it was? He said, I think God is saying to you, be still and know that I am God. Three words. I already knew them. And how did they know that's what my heart needed to hear? They didn't. But they listened to the shepherd. And the shepherd gave them, said, give us a word for Michael. And he did. It was one. And the other thing that really was exciting for me is that we did that. So 52 people were doing that at once in groups of four. And the stories again and again was, wow, not only did that word that came out of their mouth was just what I needed to hear, but the other thing was these people, wow, I listened to the shepherd and I spoke out the word he gave, and it brought encouragement, strengthening and comfort to someone else. Wow. That was a highlight. And as I said yesterday, you can try this at home. Feel free to try this at home. Who was here yesterday that did that? Go talk to them at morning tea and ask them about it. They'd be very happy to talk, tell you. Yes, the shepherd, I'm learning to listen to the voice of the shepherd. And I'm often surprised at actually how he does speak. And I'm going to finish with a story from an apt book. It's called Surprised by the Voice of God. I actually read that first about 25 years ago. A member of my church, I don't know why, I know she's trying to tell me something. I said, I think you need to read this book, Michael. And I said, okay. So I read it and I said, you're not having it back until I get my own copy. It had such a profound impact on me. Surprised by the Voice of God. And I'm going to finish with a story that the author Jack Deere wrote about his own life. And it's start of the chapter titled The Kind of People Who Hear the Voice of God. He says, I was a senior in college, and the girl sitting beside me on the plane was a junior. I just met her as we began the flight from Denver to Dallas on a cold, snowy December day. She was a psychology major and I was a philosophy major who loved apologetics. That is, the part of Christian theology that specialises in intellectual arguments for the Christian faith. It didn't take me very long to find out she was intelligent and that she wasn't a Christian. She was also living with her boyfriend. Well, she had come to the right place. I must confess that in all humility, I thought if anyone could shoot down her shallow arguments for resisting the gospel of Jesus Christ, I could. She mentioned her favourite psychologist and his latest book. I had just finished reading it and critiquing it for one of my university classes. This was going to be easier than I thought. An hour and a half later, we were approaching the airport in Dallas, and I wanted to strangle her. Somehow or other, she managed to reject every single argument I had given her. She couldn't see the logic of my brilliant presentations. She even had the audacity to repeatedly say that she couldn't understand my crystal clear explanations of the gospel. I was totally exasperated, and myself in dire need of a psychologist or a tranquilizer or both. It was time for the plane to land, and my bungled attempt at witnessing was coming to a close. The experience was about to go down as a royal failure. Then the pilot announced that we could not land because of the backup in air traffic. We began to circle the airport in a swirling snowstorm. I would yet have another chance. I had a very vague feeling I had done something wrong in my first attempt to witness to her. I didn't know it, but I had been speaking to her as though she were nothing more than a spiritual trophy to put on my evangelistic showcase. This time I decided on a new tactic. I would encourage her to talk and I would listen. For the next 30 minutes I listened intently as she told me of her dreams and struggles and present unhappiness. She told me that she had been witnessed too often by students from churches and parachurch organisations, but none of it took. I kept on listening. About 45 minutes later, the plane began its descent into the airport. Suddenly she stopped talking and asked, "What do you think?" What did I think? I spent an hour and a half telling her what I thought and it hadn't done any good. What more could I add? Before I knew it, almost involuntary, a silent prayer for help escaped my heart. And then I felt the compassion of Jesus for this young woman. With the compassion came a divine clarity so simple that it almost sounds foolish. I said to her, "Your problem is the same as mine. You are a sinner and you need a saviour." She burst into tears. "I know," she sobbed. "It's true, it's true, you're right." I began to understand something with that encounter. An hour and a half of apologetic arguments did not even come close to equaling the force of the simple statement, "You are a sinner and you need a saviour." There was a power behind that simple declaration that was absent from all my carefully reasoned arguments. The power came because God had suggested those simple words to my spirit. At the time, I didn't have the wisdom or the maturity to ask why the power came. I just knew that it was there. That experience of power began to teach me, a philosophy major, the relative powerlessness of intellectual arguments. While they may occasionally remove genuine obstacles to faith, they are ultimately fruitless unless the Holy Spirit convicts the heart of sin. And let's pray. Yes, Jesus, our Good Shepherd, we thank you that you know us, your sheep. And you know the sheep that aren't even in your fold. But you are their shepherd too. And not only do you know us, you know what our hearts need. Thank you that you speak to us. Open our ears to hear your voice, and open our ears to hear your voice as we will speak your word into others' lives as well. Amen.